Like, I kind of want to do that tonight. Like, how long would it take on the computer you're at right now, viewers and listeners and people out there? Like,
Oh, that's right. We're still live.
it's cool though. This part gets cut out of the audio part.
Sometimes it does.
Welcome to episode 80 of One More Podcastle, part of the Retroids.com podcast network. My name is Eric Bailey. I was born in the 1980s, and I am the editor-in-chief of OneMoreCastle.com.
My name is Eric Hunter. I am the audio engineer, and I was born in the 1880s.
My name is Scott Lammers. I am a guest this week, and my brother is in the Guinness Book of World Records twice.
What? For
what?
What?
What did he do?
I thought you guys just made stuff up in the beginning of the show.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that's a hell of a...
Oh, I totally thought... Oh, okay, sorry about that.
Wow, that was... You're a really good liar. That's kind of creepy.
Well, what did he do fictitiously?
I didn't think that far into the lie.
No. I did find out recently that the man who has taken the longest pee in the Guinness World Book of Records?
Tom Hanks.
What? No. Tom Hanks.
From their own, right?
Also holds the world record for the continuous drinking of alcohol without stopping.
I'm not surprised by that, right?
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of funny. But it's probably not as cool as what your brother's in Guinness for. So nobody will know.
No, he's not in it, I don't think.
No. Well, we need to work on that.
Yeah. I should. I'm the older brother. I can usually get him to do stuff.
That's true.
He owes me. I was the best man in his wedding.
Right.
So we'll get him to, I don't know, do something
crazy.
Well,
see, if you were the best man, clearly that's a Guinness record. So he's practically already there.
There you go. There
so
you
he's
go.
In the book once because you're the best man.
That's right.
I don't think so.
Well, now you'll just have to get married.
Yeah, we're working on that. We'll see what happens.
Right, cool.
We're working on it. Don't worry.
Whatever. Yeah. I think it was the very first episode of this podcast. Hunter was a newlywed, right?
Yeah, it's because I missed episode 2 because I was on my honeymoon.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It was a strange email thread of, look, priorities, you know, we can wait a couple of weeks. And everybody's like, no, Well, let's do the first one, and then we'll just get somebody else to fill in. It's like, really? All right.
Good time.
Can't skip a break. Can't skip a week.
For any of our listeners or live stream viewers that are wondering what happened to Jason...
He's dead.
I would just like to take this opportunity to say that if you believe his death is the result of a conspiracy that I was a part of, purely because I was tired of his constant dominance recently on the Retro Showdown, and this is the way
this
I figured
is the
I could
only
win
way
again.
We could get back on top is by
I
killing
just
Jason.
I just want to deter any of those rumors. That's totally not what happened. Not what happened at all. I mean, obviously Jason's not here, but it's not because I sent him a package that may have been poisoned, even though it was a food I knew he would ingest, and that caused some complications. You know, nothing like that at all. So don't worry about
donuts.
It. Don't
donuts.
Worry about it. Canadians love donuts, right?
I don't know.
So, I know one Canadian that loves donuts. He buys them in Simpsons Tapped Out all the time.
Oh, yeah, because the donuts Simpsons. Are the currency.
That's
for
the
that
currency,
game.
Yeah.
That's the silliest game. It's just like, hold on, I gotta make everybody... do things. Hold on. And it's like, no, we're working right now. Like, you're on the clock. I am paying you to be here. Don't play Simpsons Tapped Out right now. It's crazy.
So, Scott, man, before I forget, I do want to give you an official chance. Why don't you tell everyone, like, who you are, why you're here, what you're known for? Like, who are you?
Well, I'm here because you disposed of Jason. And...
Ah!
Yep.
Sorry.
Knew it.
And my name's Scott. I'm from a podcast and YouTube channel called Classic Leet. And Eric and I became internet friends over Twitter and whatnot years ago now.
Yeah, and literally years ago.
He blew my mind with NintendoLegend.com, so we had him on for an interview to pick his brain about what he was doing. I think you were in the 40s,
number-wise,
and now you're in the 380s or something.
300s at least, yeah.
So, yeah, we
go
do...
way back.
Yes, absolutely. And on our channel and podcast, we do retro games, modern games, talk about computers, do hardware reviews, stuff like that. So we have a lot of fun, and yeah, I'm really excited to be here. It's really cool to just be on another podcast. It's always a lot of fun to talk to new people. Yeah.
Good to have you. Thanks for stepping in on short notice after we killed Jason. We really appreciate that.
Yeah, no, seriously, thank you. I'm really pumped.
Cool. Quick fun fact. These headphones were a classic leaked recommendation to me. I was like, hey, I need some cheap headphones. And you guys were like, here's one. And I was like, bye.
Here's what we use for $7.
Purchase. Yeah.
I have upgraded my microphone since then.
I'm still rocking the, well, I can't pull out the jack right now, but like I have electrical tape over part of it where the casing's wearing off. It's good. It's
no,
good.
You don't. Do you really?
Yeah. Jeez. Let me. I'm gonna. Should I unplug and replug real quick?
No. Let's not. No, okay. Because you're gonna piss off Google. Risk it. Let's not. Let's
that's
not.
True.
Anger Google.
It probably would.
They don't like you unplugging.
Yeah. Speaking of pissing off our digital counterparts, have you guys played any old video games lately?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like what?
Let's hear it.
What was the What was the order again, Bailey? I totally forgot.
Oh, it doesn't matter. For it, discussion man. Question. Go for it.
Gotcha. I've been playing a lot of Tecmo Bowl. My friends and I have been getting into it a lot lately. And I have made a determination. It is that having a Ronnie Lott or a Lawrence Taylor on your defense is more important than having Bo Jackson on your offense.
Really?
Yes.
That's a bold statement.
I know. But the thing is, when you have a Lawrence Taylor, a Ronnie Lott, what have you, you are able to cover the entire field, so you can call a run and still cover on a pass play. So, yeah, we've had some really intense games here lately. And, I'm 31, so a lot of my friends are just like you guys, all nostalgic and loving to play old games, so we've been busting that out. And also, I've been playing a lot of Castlevania 1 on the 3DS from the Virtual Console.
Oh, cool.
Been on a Castlevania kick. I just finished Lords of Shadow 2 on the PC, so I wanted to actually play a really good Castlevania game, so I went to Castlevania 1.
Yeah, you know, Konami actually gave me a Steam copy of Castlevania Lords of Shadow 2. I haven't tried to see if my laptop can handle it yet, but thanks,
it's not,
Konami.
It's not terrible or anything. Yeah. It's just a little repetitive. Have you guys played the Mega Man 2.5D beta?
Yes.
Isn't that sweet?
It is. So I just hope it gets finished.
What?
I know. The two-player co-op works really well. My buddy and I were also playing that.
Yeah, that's the thing that kicks it for me. It could still be 2D. It doesn't have to be 2.5, but that two-player co-op with Proto Man, that's amazing.
Absolutely. So I've been hooked on that. And then also... A homebrew game that came out a few years ago called Pure Solar for the Sega Genesis.
Damn.
They're releasing Pure Solar HD on just about everything next month, and I've been getting back into that game.
I supported that on Kickstarter, so I'm waiting on my copy.
Yeah, I got a Dreamcast copy that I purchased 2 years ago. Still waiting on it.
Yeah, it's coming. On our most recent podcast, episode 110, we actually interviewed the president of Watermelon. He kind of gave us a lowdown on what was going on.
Nice.
Oh, cool.
So, wow. Man, that was such a fun interview. He talked about, listen to this rule that his parents had. It was genius, and I'm glad that my parents never figured this out because there would have been no way to argue with them. His parents had the rule that when he had played his Atari 2600 to the point where the AC adapter was warm, it was time to turn the game off.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Wow.
And if you remember the Sega Genesis,
that thing would be smoking hot.
It was screaming hot all the time.
You could look at it too hard. Yeah. That it would,
like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
I had mine taped together as a kid because it was so damn heavy it would fall out of the wall. So eventually the plastic got all janky with it.
Yeah.
So.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. I'll have to admit, that's pretty good.
So that's what we or that's what I've been doing from a retro standpoint.
Nice.
How do you enforce that rule though? Like, was she constantly like just kind of feeling the AC adapter, like, ooh.
I was so impressed on what a smart idea that I didn't dig any deeper.
That's I'm curious.
It kind of reminded me of the old days when parents would say, come home when your street lights flip on.
Yeah, because that's when it's dark outside.
Be home before dark, yeah.
So, good deal. What have you guys been up to?
Man, Pierre Solar, I totally forgot about that game.
Yeah,
I'll get excited.
I got another one coming to me, too. I can't remember what it's called. It's a Super NES game. It's like they're magicians. It's a run and gun.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it was originally supposed to come out in 96, and the company went under.
Ooh, wow.
And then they were able to raise enough money to get it back together. It's another game that's been in the works for like 4 years that... been waiting for a copy for 4 years.
Yeah, it'll be worth it. Wizards in a running gun.
Yeah, they're like magicians and they like throw cards and stuff. I don't know. I'd have to find it. Huh. Anyway, so I played a lot of Pokemon lately.
Nice.
Like a
Twitch
lot.
Inspired?
No. So it was a couple episodes ago. We actually had a Pokemon showdown and I just happened to be there with what other shitty pick that I brought. But like it was one of those games I could never get into because I never really figured out how it worked, you know. So like I decided, I'm like, okay, you know what, I got Pokemon Blue, I'm just gonna pop it in, I'm gonna play it and try to figure it out. And I was watching like this this playthrough online to try to kind of get me set up of like who does what and what type is this and what fights this type and all that stuff. So I got really into it all of a sudden, and then I get to Mount Moon and my cart crashes.
Oh,
and it refuses to go on past, the first random battle that you have at Mount Moon. Like it just keeps crashing on me.
So Zubat basically.
Yeah, that's, yes, it was on Zubat. So, but I was so intrigued to keep playing that I went out and I bought Fire Red on the Game Boy Advance for $30. Like, I was like, I want Fire Red. And she was like, oh, okay. I was like, 30 bucks, here's my credit card. Let me go home.
We got the game.
And I've got about 4 hours into the game, and I just beat Misty. But it's like, I'm super intrigued by this game now because it's like this very interesting idea of, you know, rock, paper, scissors, and like leveling up not only means you get to be a better character, but like the character f-ing changes. Like, how cool is that?
Like, it's so delightful. It blew my mind to see you experiencing this for the first time.
Yeah, because like I didn't know anything like about the whole evolving process and anything like that. And I picked Charmander as my starter Pokemon. And when he went to Charmeleon, I was like, he's evolving. What the hell is he doing? And he comes out and he's like this big badass. And I was like, what? I didn't know he would do that. So like, I'm like, I can't stop playing game now.
That's so good.
I just, it's just too much, man. The game is too much.
Yeah. I'm so proud of you, Hunter. Good for you.
But I've realized I'm not going to collect them all.
Oh, yeah.
Like, because there's only, what, like 10 or 12 different types or something like that? So I'll probably just collect one of each type and then just try to max them out as much as possible.
But then which one of which type are you going to teach your hidden machines to and use as your utility as opposed to your battler?
I haven't gotten that. I haven't even gotten cut yet, man. I know. I haven't even gotten cut yet. So it's like, and it's like, I've never put this much time into one particular video game in a long time. Like usually it's like, I'll play it for an hour. If it doesn't, you know, if I'll play it for an hour and then I'm done. Like that's it. Like, I might come back to it a couple of weeks later, but at that point, it's like, I don't even know what's going on in the store anymore. I might as well start over. Well, if I'm going to start over, I'm just going to play something else.
So
you know
good.
What I mean? Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Well, kudos to you for trying it. I mean, some people, you know, they're a little nervous about something. They're not sure they like it. They see other people play it, and they just start hating on it.
Well, see, that was another thing, too, because, I mean, that was the, after talking with you guys and watching that playthrough, like, that was the one of the things that really pushed me back was the fact that, like, okay, well, not all these Pokemon work together, but how do I level them up if I can't fight them? And you're like, well, no, you just start off and then you switch. And I'm like, well, that seems kind of dumb. Well, now it makes sense.
Right.
Because there's certain areas that are designated, like, right before, right when you get to Misty's Gym, like, if you go on, what is it, Route 28 or something like that? And fight all those trainers, like the hypers and stuff.
Yep.
Like those are old. If you that whole
rock types,
process,
yeah,
that whole process is for you to get an Oddish and then boost him up as hard as you can.
There you go.
Like it kind of walks you through it. And I'm like, so it got me thinking: what other games have I completely pushed to the wayside just because I didn't get it? That I'm missing on these great opportunities to play some great games.
That's like, you know, whenever I hear people complain about they could never get into Majora's Mask because they thought the owl statues were the only way to save the game.
Oh.
So they're like, oh, and then I get to the end of the world and everybody dies and I quit and I never played again. I'm like, oh, you're missing the entire point.
Right.
Moron. Yeah. For any live stream viewers wondering why Scott is not visible, that is because
he's invisible. Yeah.
Yes, which is a great trait to have. Now, I never put a webcam on my production PC, and the way that we're recording this podcast, my laptop would not be able to handle it. So, unfortunately, I think, is it my Google face?
No, it's just black.
No, it's just an ominous black screen.
Oh,
it's
my
awesome.
Goodness.
It's kind of
really
it's
kind of
creepy.
To be honest.
Like stepping into
it's,
the
oh man.
The cosmos.
I'm not going to acknowledge it anymore. I'm just going to say, hey, listen to it on audio. You can't tell the difference. But I've been playing a few NES games, not to say the same.
For review?
I usually say. No, not for review. No, the other night I just took out a few and just played them for like 5 or 10 minutes. So like, for instance, Deadly Towers. One of the biggest wasted potential games of all time.
I was going to say, no wonder you only made it a few minutes with that
one. Yeah, I was like, well, how far can I get into it before I really, you know, it's I don't want to say it's good, but it
could have been. It could have been really good.
I mean, but there's just little simple things that are so dumb. Like the way your manner of attacking is a sword flies out of your crotch. I mean, really? It's not in your hand. It's just flies out of your crotch. Woo!
And you're screwed if you miss.
Slowly floats across the screen.
Yeah, the hit detection on the thing is awful.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, because
if you miss, like, you can't shoot again, right?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, your
crotch
sword.
Like,
yeah, it's just not going to anymore. Guardian Legend?
That's a great game.
Not played it.
Great game. But the only reason I mentioned it is apparently I'm so rusty at it. I died on the first level, like the shoot 'em up part.
Oh, really?
Because, and this is just dumb, I couldn't remember which of the things that fly across the screen were the items and which were stuff to dodge. Turns out you're pretty much just supposed to dodge everything, but in my morbid curiosity, I was bumping my ship into everything. So, it's dumb on my part. Demon Sword, kind of a personal favorite. I don't know of many other games of this era that give you the sense of leaping martial arts speed and dexterity that Demon Sword does. I mean, you play Kung Fu for a few minutes and you play this, it's like entering the Matrix.
So, I always loved Kung Fu, so I'm sold on that game now.
Yep, I got a few levels in, got to one of the tougher bosses. No, you know, I'm evangelizing Demon Sword. If you haven't tried it, try it.
Is it a common game?
Yeah, it's real cheap. You can get it for a couple bucks.
Sweet.
Yeah. And if you don't like this one, there's another game just like it you can try. Actually, that doesn't make any sense. If you didn't like this, don't try that one.
No, I'm insane, so that fits perfectly.
Yeah, there you go. Then there's this game, but it's the one I'm bringing to the showdown. So, not to pull a Bailey, but I'm going to talk about it.
Yeah. You're pulling a Bailey.
Pulling a Bailey. That's my showdown game.
Nice.
Stupid Bailey. Cowabunga! Hey, we got a listener email discussion question.
All right.
Cool. This one is short and sweet, guys. This is from Edward Varnell, longtime listener. He asks, what does it take to have a favorite level in a video game for you, or what has been your favorite lever? Ugh, your favorite lever, you know. Your favorite level ever created. If you could create your own level, what would it be? So he's kind of cheating because that's like two or three questions, but I say it's legit. So what's your favorite level? Why is it your favorite level? And what would you make your own level like in a video game?
The first thing that came to mind for me was there's a cave very early in Final Fantasy II or Final Fantasy IV or whatever Final Fantasy number it's supposed to be. But it's the cave that you walk through before getting up to the mountaintop where you find Tali or whatever his name is, whatever the wizard's name is. Hmm. There's parts of the cave where you're walking across bridges, and down below, way, way down below, are these tiny rivers. And for some reason, when I was a kid and I saw that, it was like the most majestic thing that I've ever seen in a video game before. Like, you couple that with the music and the whole story up until that point, like, it was kind of, it stuck out because it was like the only thing that wasn't like life-threatening or somebody raining down evil and hell on the somebody else, or, you know, it was just, it was very tranquil. And, you know, with the music and everything, I liked it so much, in fact, that I saved a game under the save game files at that exact point so I can just walk into the cave and see it.
Nice.
And it's still on my cart that I have now. Like, that save file is still there.
That's cool. Excellent description there. Scott, any levels come to your mind as favorites?
Yeah, probably Dr. Wily Stage 1 in Mega Man 2. I love that song. And I love the ability to use the metal blade and mow down those like squiggly boomerangs.
Yeah.
And
metal
blade that is
amazing.
And the dragon is so hard in that level, or at least it's not now that I know the patterns, but as a kid it was so satisfying to beat that level for the first time. So that was probably the one that jumped into my head first. And a close second might be the jungle level of Contra, just because that's one of my favorite games, and that was the first exposure to that game. So those are, I guess, a few of mine.
Nice.
Yeah, definitely excellent picks. We have such fine taste on the One More Podcast.
It's very, it's very Victorian. Well, I mean,
Renaissance men.
First levels have, I mean, that's always big. Even now, I mean, if the first level of a game that you play through, it's got to set the entire tone of the game. And what's neat about Mega Man is since you can pick any level to be the first level, all of them have to be perfect, you know, like.
So, okay, let me ask you guys then, what's your favorite Mega Man on the NES?
Mega Man 2.
Mega Man 2? Which is it, Bailey?
I'd say Mega Man 2 also.
Okay, so what's your Mega Man 2 first level?
Like, just every time that I play it?
I always play Flashman first.
I used to play Flashman, and then I found that Bubble Man is supposed to be the legitimate first character to play through.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, so, like, I'll play that stage first, and then I'll forget what the rest of them are. So I'll be like, oh, I'll play Metal Man, then I'll play Flashman, then I'll go to Crash Man, I'll just go over the, I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I'll just go everywhere.
Once you get Metal Blade, you can pretty much just go everywhere.
Yeah, and item two. Like, when you got item two, you can pretty much do anything.
Mm-hmm. Bailey, what's your first Mega Man level?
I don't know. It's kind of dumb, but I like playing Woodman first.
No, that's...
He looks so non-threatening on the level select screen.
I don't know. That's why like, he looks I not... Got, well, this guy looks okay.
I got Woodman. I got this guy. Let me slowly build my confidence. I got Woodman, really? I got him. Come on.
Well, see, I think of that a Flashman because he looks, like, overweight in the photo. Like, he looks like a... He kind of looks fat.
Yeah,
much fatter than the other people on the screen. So it's like...
Absolutely. And I don't think I've ever played Woodman without going to Metal Man first, because it never made sense to me to go into the woods without a blade as a little kid. And I don't know if I've ever broken that, I guess, that progression or whatnot.
Yeah, I'm the opposite. I'm like, a normal human being can handle chilling in a forest. Like, I got to slowly build up before I get into these, like, roboticized, mechanized, everything's trying to kill me, you know.
That actually makes sense.
Stub your toe on a spike and you explode. There's no spikes in the forest.
Well, I've never played through Crash Man to be able to use the crash bombs in Flash Man's stage to blow up those bricks.
Oh, yeah.
I've never done that. Like, I'll see him and I'm like, I keep forgetting that I need to go to him first so I can try these areas that I've... I mean, it's just usually items or whatever, but it's parts of the game that I've never experienced because...
It's like free guys you've never touched.
Yeah, because that's not the progression that I play Mega Man 2 through. Yeah. So it's all this extra game that I haven't been able to put my fingers on.
Very cool.
Yeah, I had so many levels come to mind thinking about this question.
Of course you did.
I like levels. Like, I like thinking that way about games. Planet Freon from Ristar. Sega fans out there, I think it's one of the most well-executed ice levels. It's not just like a generic cliche. There's sliding puzzles, and the boss is called Eat a More Lunch, and you throw stuff in his mouth. It's wonderful. It's a little timely to have this question because I'm going to shamelessly plug myself. My next monthly Masterpiece Microscope special feature on OneMoreCastle.com is going to be about a level in Yoshi's Island that I think kind of typifies why the game is excellent. It's just a lot of little things about the level. The very first level of Super Mario Brothers, it's just obviously iconic. I can still play it and be like, yeah, this just feels like home. Gosh, so many good levels. And seeing something done in a new way is something I always appreciate in a level. So I would hope if I ever made my own level in a game, if I ever had the chance to design it, just put a unique spin on an old thing.
It's tough to do, but when you get that aha moment playing a more modern game, it's so awesome. Like something in Rayman Legends or Donkey Kong Country games or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, yes, this is what I thought that these would evolve into.
Well, see, I want more levels like the intro level in Mega Man X. Like, you take a game that is part of a long-winded series that you know going in that it's going to start off this way, and then suddenly you just get dropped in this very foreign territory, and it's like, well, what the hell am I supposed to do now? This doesn't look right. Like, like those, I love levels like that. Like, if I were to, it'd probably be practically the same thing as what you said, Bailey, was to take something that's been done and, you know, put a spin on it. But, like, I would love to take just some popular franchise or even like a popular genre, you know, and then just like, just for the very first second, put them in a completely different area.
Yeah.
Just because, I mean, it does a couple of things. I mean, obviously, the introductory level of Mega Man X was amazing. And, you know, I don't think you could have done it any better to teach somebody how to play the game. But everybody took a second to, like, what's, you know, to think about, like, it set the tone. I guess that's what I'm trying to get out there.
I like that. Like, when you talk about taking an established, recognized thing and making it refreshing. I think that's why I love Giant World in Super Mario Brothers 3.
Because it's awesome.
That blew my mind.
Because there's millions of people who had already played a couple Mario games before that.
Right.
And so you know what a Goomba is. You've seen a thousand Goombas in your Mario career. And then you see the one that's four times as big as you are. And that was just like, what?
Well, it's not even that. Even if Mario 3 is the first Mario game you've ever played, you've got to play through four other worlds before you get up there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, because you experience, like, you know, the first world's just more very generic. Then you go to a sand world, then a water world. And it's like, okay, it's based off of, you know, topographical or is that the word?
Like themes?
Yeah, themes. That'll work. Yeah, I'm trying to think of a much bigger word. I don't know why.
Keep it short, man, so I can understand it.
Big words hurt my head.
Geographical.
But, and then it's like, and then you get the giant world, and it's like, that's it. So, like, it completely whips you back into, like, this game still has surprises, even though this is world 5 or whatever it was, whatever world it is. I think it's 5.
Yep, and then you can start jumping in boots, which was another, like, oh my gosh.
That's the only time you do it. Like, it's that one level.
And everybody remembers.
It's like that one program is like, I got a good idea. They don't think it's a good idea, but I got a good idea. I'm going to put it in this one level.
But here's the question. If you could do it in several more levels, would it be as remembered? Or would it be remembered as well or as being so special?
I don't know.
I'm sure there's definitely a tipping point where it wouldn't be, but it could have been in a little bit more maybe and still been memorable. Memorable?
Yeah. You'd lose a little mystique, though. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd agree with that.
Still would have been cool, though.
I'll stop agreeing with you guys in a little bit. After the showdown.
That's true. That's nice. True.
But for now, I'll be an agreeable person.
That's coming right now,
we're having way too much fun.
Way too much fun. We're all getting along. Screw that. Well, fine. Let's take a music break. Back. That was Planet Rise by A Digitized Orange, an artist we haven't had on here in a long time. A cool brooding piece of electronica. Nice track. You can download it on the podcast page, warmercastle.com. Speaking of cool stuff, though, it is time for the Retro Showdown.
Retro Showdown!
Anyone who doesn't know, this is the part of the show where each of us has secretly chosen an old video game. We'll have 1 minute to introduce our choice, then we're just going to spend the rest of the episode arguing about who picked the best game. In fact, 2 episodes ago, the theme was games with deserts in them, and the winner was Jason.
Are you serious again?
He won with Attack of the Mutant Camels, which I understand it's irresistible. We have to vote for it. But it beat Star Tropics 2, Voters Revenge, and Aladdin on Sega Genesis.
Wow.
So,
Hunter, your rant about deserts was quite entertaining.
Oh, yeah. The intro.
Before dropping the Aladdin.
That was amazing. So, listeners, yeah.
Every once in a while, I got a good one in me. But other than that...
Blind squirrels find nuts too, right?
That's right. That's right.
So the best part, listeners, is that you will get to vote for your favorite of this showdown on the episode page on warmercastle.com. Tonight's theme, hopefully one of our arguments will sway you, is a free-for-all because we have a special guest. So there's no rules. Whatever. We just picked a game. Who cares, right? I
mean, and this time, Jason can't win.
Jason cannot possibly win tonight. The streak is broken.
Unless Andrew puts in a write-in form just to spite you.
Why would you even give him the idea?
Don't suggest things that might come true.
That's the kind of thing you'll do.
Oh, well.
Well.
But no, there's no theme tonight, so I'm curious as to what you guys picked. I'm kind of scared but excited.
Well, you're up first, Mr. Bailey.
Oh, yeah, I am.
Senor Bailey, and I've got a minute ready for you, if you, sir, are indeed ready to go.
I think I'm ready.
Well, then you may begin.
I picked a 1993 release on the NES. I find that in video games, the rule is kind of the opposite of movies. In video games, the sequel tends to be better than the original. You ever notice that? Mega Man 2 perfects the formula, right? So I thought, what's a really awesome NES game that has a sequel? So, Tetris 2.
Oh, nice.
The art on the cartridge alone is fantastic. They took Tetris, right? But they gave it like an Egyptian theme, so it actually has like some kind of flavor to it. And they totally innovated the puzzle genre with detachable parts of pieces that you can move independently. It's basically Dr. Mario with more complexity. And get this, it's two-player, unlike the original Tetris, which is not. So blow up those color bombs, clear your screen. It's Tetris 2, the puzzle classic.
Classic.
All right, well, I've brought a classic side-scrolling platformer. It has hidden weapons, hidden stages, hidden items, and although the method is a little cryptic, even though this game released in 1986 in Japan and 1988 in the States, it actually allows for infinite continues. So if you have the time, you can brute force your way through this difficult game. It has excellent music, great controls, it's really colorful. It also is good enough to spawn sequels, Bailey. So going on to the sequel argument, sometimes it's where it starts that counts, not necessarily the second game that comes. And I'm talking about Hudson Soft's Adventure Island for the NES. So yeah, it's a killer game.
We're just going to say your time's up.
It is. I'm done.
Adventure Island.
Did I go over a minute?
No, you're fine.
You started before Hunter had a chance to have the time.
Right? No, I was on the quickie quick.
That's the issue, Scott.
Oh, that's right.
You're so eager to jump the gun. I don't know who you think you are. Come on here as a special guest and special privileges. He'll be so eager to jump the gun.
I will never make that mistake again.
Crappy game that he brought. All right, it's my turn. My pick for this week has a little bit of everything for everybody. You got adventure, action, platform, puzzling, ninjas, beat 'em up action, even some racing on some motorbikes. It's an action pack to say the least and truly a powerhouse in the console market. Released in 1995 for the Sega Genesis, it's the Genesis 6-pack. Comprised of 6 complete games on one cart, the Genesis 6-pack housed all of my favorites, Sonic the Hedgehog, Shinobi, Streets of Rage, Golden Axe, Columns, and Super Hang-On. Sure, there have been a bunch of multi-carts in the past, but only a handful of those carts were actually released under legal means, and no other multi-cart could possibly compare to the Sega Power that is the Genesis 6-pack.
Is that fair, Bailey?
Well, I think it is
one game.
Because no, it's not one game. It's several.
It's not one game. It's one cartridge.
Well, it's one game with 6 games on it.
Well, see, I'm okay with it because
Hunter
brought Columns, which is worse than Tetris 2. So I got this. Simple.
Well, I do have one question for you, Bailey.
What's up?
You mentioned that there's an Egyptian theme.
Yeah.
Isn't Tetris 1 a Russian theme?
Kinda, like in the.
Where's so your like, freedom at?
Like this has like
Bailey.
A visuals.
Where's the stars and stripes, huh?
So I'm just saying that there was a theme established in the first game.
Okay,
so.
But let's be honest. Which is cooler, Russians or Egyptians? I mean, Russians are as an American, that's like our enemy, like the commies, the Reds. I mean, look what they're doing in the world right now. Like, I'm going to be totally politically incorrect and say. Kind of wading into the pool and peeing in it a little bit. So, globally, politically speaking, I mean, jeepers creeps.
And I guess to go back to social studies in sixth grade, I did enjoy the chapters on ancient Egypt a little more. So yeah, I knew you
did.
I will.
I knew you did. It's maybe irresistible.
But what I don't like about Tetris 2 is the fact that the blocks aren't all together.
It's not Tetris.
It's not. No. It's a cool game. It might as well be Columns. It might as well be Dr. Mario 2. I don't know.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's the thing. It's not a better variant. It's a worser variant. The only good thing that Tetris 2 brought was it was two-player.
Yeah, which is a good benefit.
At the same time. Now, there technically is a two-player version of Tetris, but you need a Game Genie, and it's getting a little technical. But
well, you could also just play the unlicensed version.
Yeah, that one's got two player too.
Tengen's got two player.
Yeah, the unlicensed Tengen card does.
Okay.
I really should have bought that.
Yeah, you probably should have.
Now I think about it, but this, I mean, just two.
I'm more concerned about why you pick the inferior port of Wonder Boy. That's what I'm concerned about.
Ooh!
Which is totally fair. Totally fair. Now, I had never played Wonder Boy, and it wasn't until I was an adult that I learned about the fact that this is a port of the arcade game Wonder Boy. A lot of people do find Wonder Boy to be an excellent game, and that's probably why it made an excellent port. Now, the port was so good that when they did go on to sequels, Wonder Boy was such a good game, it could support two different franchises at the same time, essentially. So the core of the game is still there, and it was the first time that I was ever exposed to Wonder Boy or Adventure Island, and I think it's phenomenal.
So
that's why.
Adventure Island is one of those NES games that a lot of people really like, yet always rubbed me the wrong way, and I don't like it as much as a lot of people, so sorry to the listeners I'm offending right now by saying it's all right. I'm not saying it's bad. But I've been thinking about, why do I not like Adventure Island as much as some people? I have a couple things about it. I'm just going to talk about one of them right now. Adventure Island, we were talking about level design earlier, has one of my pet peeves for gaming in it. And that is...
Skateboards and 8-bit systems.
Skateboards and fruit.
There's a... One of them, though, is stuff that appears out of nowhere. Like, good and bad. It's not like it comes on screen. It just pops into existence. It's annoying.
I mean, you would have the same complaint in Pac-Man, then, when the fruit comes. Is that bad? Is that really
right.
bad?
In Pac-Man, it's a once-per-level event that's treated as a bonus, and it can't harm you. In Adventure Island, it is your life. It is how the game works. Like, they couldn't be bothered to place enemies, place items. It's just, bloop, 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 it just appears. It's ridiculous.
No, I can see that argument. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, a way to get around the stuff that pops in is to make sure to not stink at the game and upgrade your weapon to fireballs, and then you just blast through everything. And I think that's pretty fun. But
yeah,
I guess I
Bailey,
never
if
noticed...
you were better, if you were better at the game.
That's true. I'm not very good at it. That is a problem. So. I need to play it more. I need to pull a Hunter and play it and give it a second chance. And,
possibly. And I guess I never noticed the pop-in thing that you're talking about as a negative. It happened in so many games on the NES. I guess I never held it against the game before.
But think about the other games where it happens. Like Amagon. Is Amagon a classic? Like all time.
No, Amagon is not a classic.
It's not.
But I do like it.
Do you know why? Because the enemies randomly pop in front of you. It's really annoying.
Yeah, Amagon. But now, Adventure Island, I think you would say, is far superior to Amagon.
It's kind of superior.
Only kind of. Okay.
I'll put on the disclaimer. This is just my opinion, and it's my unusual opinion. I recognize my opinion.
Well,
on
I'm
this
deeply offended.
But,
I guess, it never bothered me. And I love the music in this game. I do love the character design. And
sound effects and music are both overrated as well.
See, you're shaking your head. Ah, well, there we go. Those are... See, I actually highlighted in my my little show notes here, Hunter, that the history was kind of cool since it did come from Wonder Boy. So I was prepared to brag about the fact that it's Wonder Boy and you slam me with it. So
there you go.
Yeah. My 0.5 is gone.
Well, we'll twist all of your arguments against you if you'll let us.
Oh, I should have been prepared for that. So, Anyways, those are some of the reasons that I really like Adventure Island.
So this doesn't really have any much to talk about what we're talking about, but I'm looking at Adventure Island stuff, and apparently there was a WiiWare game out of the Nintendo eShop called Adventure Island: The Beginning.
Okay.
It looks really bad.
Oh no!
Like visually,
I'm glad I didn't bring that game.
Visually, it looks bad. Like it looks like a 2.5D version of Adventure Island that was made by the people who made Bugsy 3D.
Oh no!
So it looks like the skateboarding level from Simpsons Bart vs. the World.
I like that level.
Yeah, it actually is like the best part of the game.
Yeah. Well, see, okay, so here was going to be my argument about the things popping up when you're playing Adventure Island. That it's the NES couldn't handle it. That's the problem. It was a very fast-paced game. There were a ton of sprites, ton of background, a ton of colors. You know, it was probably hardware limitations.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't like
I
the art
like
style.
I feel like sometimes
in
Mega Man 2
out.
Characters would pop in, though. I mean, and that's a really good game. To go back to what
well,
we
that's
were
lag.
Talking about
that's
earlier.
A completely different thing.
that's not lag is a feature. Thank you very much. Not a bug.
Those
true.
Slow down just makes ups. Things more dramatic.
No, like the propeller guys that are in like Dr. Wily stage 2 or 3, right at the beginning of a level where you're kind of going down some shallow steps. Those I feel like those guys kind of pop in, but
yeah,
I could be wrong. I don't know,
Scott.
But again,
Scott,
I just
Scott.
I'm done.
Can you look me in the eye and really believe yourself when you say the helicopter guy's popping?
I yes.
The answer
100%.
Is no, you can't because you have no eyes. I do not see your eyes.
Oh, that's true. But I
how can
promise
I trust
you?
A man without eyes?
Well, that's fair.
The eyes are the window to the soul. So clearly you are a house without windows. You must get very hot in the summer. Scott.
So, but I guess, Hunter, I'm having a hard time with the fact that you brought, I mean, I've heard you guys give Bailey a bunch of crap for bringing Zelda games before.
Yeah.
And you bring a six pack of
the Genesis
delicious imported beer. Yeah.
Yes, but a multi-pack is only as strong as its weakest link. In this case,
okay,
Columns.
Okay, so we're ripping on Columns?
Columns
isn't that bad.
It's not that. It's not Tetris 2.
No, it's no. It's way better than Tetris 2.
No, it's Bono.
And here's why.
Bono.
Here's why.
Hugely.
Tetris 2 breaks.
Tetris 2 breaks.
From the mold that is Tetris, so greatly that the game would have been better off if it had been named something else.
Why? Why would a rose by any other name smell any differently?
Because a brand is not a plant.
But Shakespeare
it is just
would
one
have loved
singular
Tetris
thing.
2.
No, he wouldn't have. He probably wouldn't have been able to you know, blow in it to put the game in.
He would have written a soliloquy about this game.
We don't even know if he really existed, okay? It's possible that he didn't even exist. There is no such person as William Shakespeare.
So what you're saying is Tetris 2 does exist, is therefore greater than Shakespeare. I mean, you are building my argument right here.
Is that what you call it? I'm building your argument?
Yeah.
Come on.
I'm going to sit back and listen to you defend my game. Okay, you were
I would take Columns 2. I would take Columns over Tetris 2 any day.
That's... But you also...
And I would also take...
I don't know about that.
Shinobi and Sonic the Hedgehog and Super Hang-On and... Golden Axe.
In other words, half the games on your cartridge are inferior ports of arcade classics, is what you're saying.
No, that's not true, is it?
I'd rather play Shinobi on the Sega Masters.
Dude, this Shinobi is probably one of the best in the series. It's I'm sorry. That's
Is it Shinobi 3 that's on that card? Is that what you said?
No, it's, well, technically it's 2. It's the Revenge.
Okay.
Technically it's the second one, but yeah.
I am Gold with Max. Scott though. I think it is a little crooked of you to pick the 6 pack.
It's one game. But it comes on a single card.
It's something that, I mean,
that's, legally released. Let's Sega.
Let's be really honest here. That's something Jason would do.
That means I'm gonna win. Woo!
Yeah, through devious, underhanded means.
Hey man, a win's a win. Doesn't matter if you win by an inch or a mile.
That's true. Whatever. That's true.
In the spirit of March Madness, a win is a win.
There you go.
Yeah, but I think there's precedent on our podcast though that people don't even listen to the podcast. They just go to the website and vote for what game they see. It's all about the name recognition. Jason okay. won with Mutant Camels because people saw Mutant Camels and clicked on it. I have Tetris right in the name of my game. And Hunter, all you have is 6-pack. Now, I know people Genesis like 6-packs. Six-pack. I mean, I like my 6-pack. I mean, don't get me wrong. But
I'm hoping that I get sympathy votes because my company is no longer with us.
Hudson Softface isn't around anymore?
No, they died last year, I think.
Yeah, it was like last year. It was relatively recent, so
wow.
Maybe I'll get some sympathy votes.
That's deep. They had some good games.
Yeah, they did.
Bomberman.
I love how we both thought of Bomberman. It's Mega Bomberman.
Yeah, March 1st, 2012.
Yeah.
Wow. That's always tough seeing that, man. Because it's like, how do you go such an amazing run of video games and your career since 1983 was their first game released.
Yeah, and how about like freaking LucasArts?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's one that people just absolutely love.
Video game industry is harsh.
It's tough, man. Look at this. Bomberman, Donkey Kong 3, Super Mario Brothers Special. VX Spectrum. Nobody plays these games. Mega Bomberman.
So good.
Adventure Island. Man, they had some Dreamcast games. Bomberman Online. That was a good game.
See? So, in Hudson Soft, one of their early games was their port of Wonder Boy, and it was Adventure Island, and there were games on I think there were 3 NES games. There was a couple, I think, on the Super Nintendo. So, it's a strong franchise, so I like where it started. I think they fixed the pop-in problem for you on the Super Nintendo, Eric.
I will say this. It was interesting because Adventure Island stayed more with a side-scrolling kind of platforming game, where Wonder Boy went more of the RPG hack-and-slash kind of genre. So it was kind of interesting to see two companies take practically the same idea and diverge it in the separate down separate roads. Princess Tomato in the Salad Kingdom.
Wait a second. Did all three of us pick games with severe identity issues?
I think so, yeah.
I think that's exactly the theme that has emerged.
That was the theme this week.
Games with identity issues. Because my game, you're right, it's not really Tetris. You're absolutely right. It plays a lot more like Dr. Mario with some twists thrown in. I agree with you, Hunter, when you said they should have called it something different. Like, if they, I mean, granted, had like the original creator had a part of it, whatever. But if the same gameplay were intact and they just made it Dr. Mario 2, that would have been cooler.
Oh, I agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then,
man, we've kind of shot ourselves in the foot.
They did Mario Party, all of them. How do you go out of business?
Mario Party
making
sold a
Mario
lot,
Party
right?
games.
Yeah.
See, so we really got to let Hudson Soft know that we care about
it's
them.
It's mind-boggling. They need to go back. Here's what they need to do. They need to go back, and they need to rip off another amazing Sega game. That's what they need to do. They need to go and make, like, Adventure Japan, Shenmue the Remake or something.
Oh, my gosh. Seriously, they should go on Kickstarter right now and start a Shenmue 3 campaign.
There you go.
That would be, wow, Hudson Soft, we just gave you your business plan.
I would back it just on the hopes I would get a single vote on saying I would back it on the show.
Oh, goodness.
So, yeah.
It's crazy.
So, when it comes down to puzzle games, because that's what we're minimizing yours to, Hunter, I guess. I gotta say, I would probably, just because I love two-player local co-op, I think I would rather play Tetris 2 over Columns. Just because it's local co-op.
Nah.
Unlike either of your games.
Mine is not two-player at all.
I've got a ton of two-player games on mine.
Ah, the Columns is not two-player.
No, but Golden Axes, Streets of Rage...
Columns isn't.
Columns is not. No, you were correct.
You intentionally chose Columns. It's a part of the package, Hunter. You have to deal with
it.
Did I?
No, I'm happy that Columns is on there. I think Columns is a great puzzle game.
I think it's fun.
It's a lot more than Tetris 2.
Oh, wow. Tetris 2 is not that bad. Jeez. Come on. Tetris 2.
No.
It's like Terminator 2 of Nintendo games.
Oh, what? No. That doesn't even make any sense. No. Come on, man. I'm done.
No, James Cameron produced it.
Time's up.
I've gone too far. Final arguments. Hunter, why should anyone choose your six-pack?
You should choose the Genesis six-pack. If you are a fan of Sonic the Hedgehog, Golden Axe, Super Hang-On, Columns, Shinobi, or Streets of Rage.
I can't wait to bring Super Mario All-Stars and Super Mario World.
I've been waiting to bring this game for months. I'm not even kidding. Like, it's been
so
on my list.
Wait till Jason's gone. You're really...
Oh, yeah, of course.
You're really pushing all your chips in this week, aren't you?
Hey, man, the Juggernaut's got to get back on top.
Good luck with that. Good luck with that.
Thanks.
And Scott, why should anyone vote for Wonder Boy?
People should vote for Adventure Island on the NES because it is a lot of fun, has great music. I do like the level design. And give one to Hudson Soft. Come on.
Come on.
Come on.
No, but I mean, I love the game. I think it's a lot of fun. It's got a good amount of difficulty to it. It has nice scaling to the difficulty.
That's fair.
The first few levels are beatable, so I think it's got pretty good design because it gets increasingly harder as the game goes on. But if you have the time, keep continuing and go forward. So, yeah, Adventure Island's really fun, and Wonder Boy must be a really good game, too.
It's a better game.
Yeah. You should vote for Tetris 2 because it is the Godfather Part 2 of video games.
Oh, God.
Oh, jeez.
Boom. Want to give some shout-outs to our live stream commenters. Lisa Robinson, that's my mom. Sam Manenberg, Rizzard Core, Captain Knucklehead, Gina Webb, nice to see you. Eric Hunter. Brent Jareski, Valerie Minnick. Anyone else I'm missing, thank you all for watching and commenting. Just a reminder, us podcast hosts, not Scott, but you know the normal three, we're going to be at Indie PopCon. It's a pop culture convention in Indianapolis, Indiana, held May 30th through June 1st. We will be there, so you can meet us. So check out IndiePopCon.com. Be there or be square. You can email us, podcast@onemorecastle.com. In fact, that is the preferred delivery method for our listener email discussion questions. If you try to send us listener email discussion questions through Smoke Signal, we will not receive them, so please stop doing that. You're lighting hazardous brush fires everywhere. Please stop, listeners. We can't get any more bad press about that. So, Hunter, any plugs, reminders, shaving tips?
Dry shave every day. It's the only way to do it.
Oh, wow.
You can follow me on Twitter @EricHunter. My indie game review blog is IamEricM.com. I also do the Breaking Bits podcast over at officialvghc.com with the one and only Mr. Tom Hall. We will be talking about everything video gaming, recent and retro. And I would also like to remind everybody of the wonderful, fantastic, amazing, never before seen, but we've done it a couple of times in the past, Review a Great Game Day is coming up.
Wow, it really is.
On April 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, look at me. It is a Tuesday this year. I know Andrew is working hard as nails to get that done. I'm going to guess one of the reasons for the delay is the amazing job that he did on revamping onemorecastle.com.
The redesign is live.
Huge props to him. Very cool.
Good job, Andrew.
Check it out if you haven't, for those iTunes listeners and such. Scott!
Yeah, my name is Scott, and I have a podcast called Classic Leet. That's Classic L337. We are a lot like Eric's other podcast, where we talk about retro, modern games, news, whatever crap's been happening in our life, that kind of stuff. We also make videos on YouTube. It's youtube.com/ClassicLeet. And our Twitter's @ClassicLeet, and our Facebook is /ClassicLeet. So I just want to thank you guys a lot for having me on the show. This was a blast, even though I brought a turd to the showdown.
No, we just make you feel like you brought a turd. In reality, you brought more of a dead fly. So thank you so much for joining us on short notice. We really appreciate it. I mean, Jason's death. We'll have to figure out something different next week, but
Jason 2.0. We're going to rebuild him. We have the technology.
I bet Andrew will. I can't wait to see what Andrew does with Jason 2.0.
It's going to be impressive.
The onemorecastle.com redesign looks great. I mean, clearly Jason needs a lot of work to revamp. So, but seriously, Scott, thank you for coming on the show. Classic Leets has always been a great production, a good internet ally and friend of mine. Helps me get my starts in social media awareness. So I tip my figurative hat.
Oh, thanks, man. No, we've known each other for a few years now, and it's been a blast.
Yeah, amen to that. Gaming truly brings people together.
It does. It's fun.
Yep. And onemorecastle.com is where you'll find the episode page for the podcast. Vote in the Retro Showdown there. Please leave comments. All you need is a Twitter account, which feel free to find us on Twitter. I'm @Nintendo_legend myself. And listeners, last but not least, please remember, you are a bad enough dude to rescue the president. See you next week.